Story 61, Joshua House, a time of great desperation throughout the country.
In the late 1980s, AIDS was becoming more prevalent. People were getting sick and dying. There weren't any drug treatments like there are now. At the time, there wasn't very much information about it at all, other than if you got it, you died. No one knew how it was being transmitted. People were scared of catching it. It was a terrible disease and was taking the lives of men, women, and children. It was common for people who became infected with AIDS to lose their job, which meant they couldn't pay their bills and they'd become homeless. They had nowhere to go. Because of the stigma around the disease and everyone's fear of catching it, many people were denied care, compassion, and dignity by their own families. They needed somewhere to go. We opened the first Joshua House in 1988 to help provide hospice for people dying of AIDS. It was Sister Faye who first brought this idea to me. She had a priest friend who was dying of AIDS. As his illness progressed, she wanted to help. Sister Faye went to San Francisco to learn more about AIDS and find out how people were being cared for there. She was there for a few months, learning about the disease and how to care for those who had it. When she returned, she wanted us to do something for people with AIDS in our city. It wasn't going unnoticed that the Catholic Church in San Diego wasn't doing anything yet to help people with AIDS. The gay community was protesting the church and the bishop. They weren't happy with us. But the truth is, for a while, we just didn't know enough about AIDS to know what we needed to do about it. While Bishop Maher ended up getting a lot of credit when we did start housing and caring for people with AIDS, it's Sister Faye who deserves all the credit for getting the wheels in motion for it. Sister Faye came to me with the idea of us having a specific home just for people with AIDS so they could be cared for with compassion and dignity. At the time, we owned a house on 70th Street that was vacant. It had been donated to us from Robert Hartson, the founder of Hartson Ambulance Service. We decided that would be the right place to use, and I went to Bishop Maher to get approval, which he granted. The four-bedroom house had been used for Hartson's ambulance business and wasn't readily in shape for residents. But next thing you know, the Ladies' Guild had that house all spruced up, cleaned top to bottom, and beautifully decorated. It was a really nice place. Sister Faye developed a relationship with the medical clinic at UCSD, so whenever a patient came in who needed care and had nowhere to go, they'd call us. We were able to house 10 to 12 patients at a time. It was a difficult time for them, as they basically came to us to die. When they left to go to the hospital, they didn't come back. Our staff did everything possible to create a peaceful home, especially since many of the men and women had been completely rejected by their families. I had to get involved a few times, pleading with parents to visit their son or daughter before they died. Some parents just plain refused. They were shutting out and denying their children for having the disease and rejecting them for being gay. It was an emotional trip. I would plead with parents, and ultimately, the only thing I could say in the end was, "Your child is going to die. It's not that they may die or they could die. They are going to die. Do you really want their last thing to be your rejection?" Some came, and many didn't. It was heartbreaking. When AIDS first hit and no one knew how it was being spread, people thought you could get it by shaking hands or hugging. That meant many people who had AIDS were often refused basic human touch from anyone, especially their family and friends. Our staff knew better, so holding their hands was part of our care regimen. Also, for many of our residents, their partners weren't allowed to visit them when they were in the hospital-provided hospice care, since they weren't legally recognized spouses for medical consent. At our place, they could visit and spend time together. We kept the home private as much as we could, but soon enough, we had an issue with the neighbor next door. There was a man who built a home on the lot right next to us. He soon discovered he was living next door to a house filled with people who had AIDS. He was not happy. He went to the city and tried to shut us down. It was a really bad scene. I went out and talked to him, and this is how the conversation went. "Hi, how much did it cost you to build your house?" He replied, $180,000. I said, "Move." I wrote him a check for $180,000, and he moved. End of story. I'm not a patient guy. I didn't want to spend the next 20 years arguing with our next-door neighbor. Within time, I bought the corner house adjacent to that house, plus the empty lot in between, with the idea of one day constructing a building on all that land. With three houses on one block and an empty lot, we were then Joshua Homes. We ended up opening 7 homes total, but after I retired in 2011, they sold all the individual houses and brought the program into one of our downtown buildings. Some people thought it was named Joshua Homes for a person named Joshua, but that wasn't the case. Sister Faye originally named it Joshua House because in the Bible, Joshua means God is salvation. In other words, he's with us. And that was the whole purpose of the program, for people with AIDS to know God was with them.